Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association Blog Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum, speaking to you live from our studios here in Washington, D.C. And again, we are the New Africa Black Belt Blog Talk Radio. And tonight we will continue our discussions on network marketing and business identifications. And, of course, we're going to have an open mic tonight. Open mic means that we're looking to identify businesses in our communities. So if you are a business owner, whether you have goods or services to provide, we look forward to your introducing yourself so we will know who you are. And, of course, the whole objective, we want to do business with each other. So New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Blog Radio is giving you the opportunity to get yourself known by our community and giving our listeners a chance to call in. We will go to one of our sponsors, and then after hearing from our sponsors, we will go ahead and get started with tonight's show.
Natural Skincare by Karima with Shea Butter. We offer a great selection of 100% all-natural moisturizing creams for the face and body without preservatives. Also, check out our hair products. Order online and get them delivered to your home. Check out our new online shop at www.etsy.com. Search for Natural Skincare by KHB. For more information, visit us online at www.naturalskincarebykarima.com or email us at naturalskincarebykarima@gmail.com. Give us a call at 301-534-4475 or fax us at 240-318-3537. Try out our newest product, our peppermint foot rub, for a luxurious feeling your feet won't forget. Bynum & Associates Financial Planning and Insurance. Immediate annuities. Retirees, roll over your 401ks, TSPs, and pension plans into an immediate annuity. It will pay you a monthly income for life guaranteed. Please contact me for a free income quote today. At Bynum & Associates, we'll professionally mind your business. Visit us online at www.BynumAssociatesInsurance.com or give us a call at 202-288-5660 or 301-234-9090.
And again, welcome back to our show. Again, I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum, along with my co-host,
Abdul Aziz Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum and greetings to you, Bilal, and our audience. How are you today, my brother?
Alaikum salam, brother Aziz. How are you this evening?
Oh, good, good. Alhamdulillah, doing well, brother. Looking forward to our exciting show tonight.
Okay, and I want to go ahead and our director up in the state of Delaware, brother Rashid. How are you this evening?
Hey, Brother Bilal, I'm doing well, brother. Assalamu alaikum to you and Brother Aziz. It's great to be here. Great to be here.
We look forward to having you. Of course, you are. Look forward to tonight's show. And like I said, tonight's show is an open mic. And this is where if one is in business, this is we want to get to know who their business is and where their business is located, how we can go online or how we can visit their stores or wherever their businesses may be located. So whether it's goods or your services that you are selling, we look forward to hearing from you, knowing who you are. So hopefully we will be able to do business with you. So open
hey,
mic.
Bilal,
yes,
if,
brother.
If the business audience would allow, I want to share a few things with you guys before we get this show started, if that's okay, or would you like me to do it after you do what you're going to do?
No, Bob, let's go right ahead.
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to make everybody aware that on last Saturday, November 25th, I was invited to an event out in Seaford, Delaware. It was one of the best events I've ever attended, and it was referred to as Open Mic and Community Night with a Cause. It was hosted by a young lady that goes by the name of Cayenne Inc. And I'm going to say before I even mention any more, if Cayenne Inc. is in the listening audience today, would you let me know if you are listening? Because I definitely want to highlight some of the things that took place. I think the listening audience will really enjoy it. Is Ms. Cayenne Inc. in the listening audience today?
Okay. It's a little early, Brother Rashid. They could still be calling in, so
okay.
You may want
okay.
to ask as we go on.
Let me just let you guys know what took place. On last Saturday, I attended this event at the Nanticoke River Yacht Club off of Market Street in Seaford, Delaware. And again, it was an open mic night hosted by this young lady, Kian Inc. And basically, she's a great spoken word poet. And they had a featured act, man. This young brother by the name of Troy Bailey goes by AKA The Scribe. Troy Bailey, The Scribe. Man, you're talking about some of the most profound spoken word poetry from that young man and from the young lady. It was an unbelievable night. And really the highlight of the night was an organization known as Helping Hands. Helping Hands was really the highlight of this event. They're doing great work in Africa and other countries. And I was just proud all of this was taking place in Delaware. We were in Seaford. But the Helping Hands mission, basically what they do is provide clean water, water wells to underserved countries all over the place, looks like. But I know Africa, I think I heard El Salvador, and I really wanted to give them a plug because of the work that they are doing here in Delaware and across the globe. And they can be reached for those who are interested in checking them out and what they're all about at www.helpinghandsde, like Delta Echo, www.helpinghandsde.com. I was really inspired by what they've been doing for over 10 years, going to Africa and different countries helping the underserved. So I wanted to make sure you guys were aware of that. Also, Bilal, and I'll be brief, that young lady who I mentioned by the name of Kian Inc., she is having, in your neck of the woods, actually, on next Saturday, December the 9th, from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., she's having what she's calling a Cayenne Inc. Presents Warm Regards. And it's basically a poetry reading and a blanket drive for those people who want to participate in the poetry reading. What I thought was beautiful is the entry fee is not money. The entry fee is basically a blanket, a new blanket, or a new throw. So just seeing some of the things that are taking place, but that is going to take place next Saturday, December the 9th, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. in your neck of the woods. That location is actually the D.C. Public Library. I think it's known as Francis A. Gregory Library, if I'm not mistaken. That address is 3660 Alabama Avenue Southeast, and that's in Washington, D.C., 20020. And I'm going to tell you, Brother Bilal, Brother Aziz, I thought it was interesting because, you know, I'm from Birmingham, Alabama. And I was talking to this young sister, and she's having this event next week, which unfortunately I won't be able to make because I have an event out of town in Kentucky that I have to attend. But I just wanted to make all of you guys aware of what she's doing at that event. Also here in Delaware, in Smyrna, I met this pastor by the name of Pastor Dupree Johnson. Very well-spoken pastor, very humble, great guy. And he and this other brother that is referred to by the name of Dr. Jarrett Jackson on December 16th here in Smyrna, Delaware, which is where I live, I'm praying I can make that event. They're actually having two events at the same place One is a 9 a.m. breakfast where I guess they're calling it Prophecy and Prayer, a breakfast, a $20 buffet. And at 5 p.m. they're having a holistic financial seminar. And both of these events will take place at 50 West Commerce Street in Smyrna, Delaware. Last but not least, Brother Bilal, I want to thank Selena Pettyjohn Bryce, if I'm saying her name correctly. She was the young lady who invited me to this event on last Saturday in Seaford, Delaware. And her daughter, beautiful young lady, I pray I'm saying her name correctly, Irena. Both of these young ladies were very hospitable, very kind, and invited me to this event. And it was truly what I would call a black belt, a New Africa Black Belt Wall Street event, because everything about it was promoting black people, black businesses, things that the community is doing. So just wanted to make you and the listening audience aware of that, that took place on last Saturday. And I divert the attention back to you, and thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Okay, and also, Brother Rashid, like I said, I would mention that later on in the show because
yes,
our callers will still be calling in. So I look forward to your repeating that information because your guests still could be calling in. They just could be a little later after the 7 o'clock hour. But anytime after the 7 o'clock hour, they could still be calling in. So you may want to repeat yourself as we go along in the show. But
you have to do it. Just tell me when.
Yes, I got feedback from your participation, and everyone seems to be quite pleased, especially my niece Irena and my sister Selena. They was well pleased, and of course Pastor Dupree I know very well, and they was all quite pleased. So we look forward to continuing to support them and anyone else, especially all of our listeners, is we want to share as much information with our churches as we possibly can, because remember, our Christian brothers and our churches is our big community. African-American, we as African-American Muslims, we have always tried to make an impact as big as we can, but that impact is basically towards our Christian brothers and sisters because that's the majority of our community. So we look forward to having business marketing identifications in all of our communities. So what Brother Rashid was describing, that's what we look to be doing all over the country. And, of course, all of our state directors are looking forward to having all of our communities' participation. So yeah, very good job, Brother Rashid. And like I said, as we move along through the evening, I will. I know I recognize Delaware area codes, but we will have our mics open. So as we as they come on, they will be able to introduce themselves. And so, like I said, network marketing and business identification is where we are tonight. And I suppose to give you a quick example of what we're talking about, I myself will make a business presentation. Of course, Bilal Masadiq Bynum. I am the CEO of Bynums & Associates Financial Planning and Insurance. And as a financial representative, I can do, I look forward to doing suitability financial profiles. Again, suitability financial profiles. And a suitability financial profile can only be done by a licensed or a financial advisor who can prove that they qualify to be of your financial information. And so when you say, and I know when it comes to financial profiles, most of us have our own financial profiles that we've already started. But again, to have a suitability, that means that now you have a professional have looked at your profile. Professional can give you a should give you if they're doing a suitability, and that's why that word suitability is used, because it means now that you have to prove whatever you're telling your clients, you have to have a printout proposal that you can leave with that client as to where the client can read and remember everything that you have said during your presentation while you was putting together this suitability financial profile of them. So after that professional finished speaking, now they would be leaving a printout proposal showing especially the figures of everything that they have advised you to do. And, of course, by having that printout proposal, now you as the client, if the financial professional was working, let's say, in their own interest, giving you bad financial advice, but good financial advice that would make them money, then, of course, you have a printout proposal where it can be looked at by whomever, especially your insurance commissioners. And I can tell you now, insurance commissioners of a state works directly with the courts of that state. And that insurance commissioner has the power of subpoena. So if you are given a printout proposal that doesn't favor you, the client, then you can take your complaint to these financial commissioners, or of course you can always sue on behalf of yourself. In other words, I'm saying that as a financial license advisor, we are responsible for what we say to you. So again, once I take my head off and start giving you financial advice as a licensed financial proposal, a licensed financial representative, then I am responsible at that point for what I am saying to you. And if you wanted me to, listen, you say, well, I want that in writing, and I then, in order for it to be a suitability a report, and it should be a suitability report if it came from a financial professional. So when it comes to Bynum's and Associates, yes, we can do a suitability financial profile of you, making certain that from the time that we meet you, we will have you on the way of having your retirement as to where you will have stability, because that's what we all want when it comes to our retirement. We're looking for stability when we do retire, which means that I want to make sure that my income is going to come into me for life, making sure that my income is what I have saved all the years that I'm saving, and taking the advice of my financial advisor. So when I do retire, again, I have a retirement that I know I can I will be coming in for the rest of my life. Also, I have a good tax advice, so I know what my tax brackets are, and so financial planning is what you and your financial advisor and putting together a financial profile. It's the financial planning and, of course, making sure that not only am I have security in my retirement, but I also have an estate, which means that there are those that if something was to happen to me, my estate would continue to take care of the obligations that I took care of, and now I am leaving my heirs in a position where they can start doing the same things for those that I am leaving behind, my grandkids and my kids, my family, and even my community. So whatever a financial plan or whatever financial planning that I am doing while I am still getting to the point of financial stability, that stability will continue even after I am gone. So my estate, so not only am I doing financial planning for myself, but I'm also doing estate planning. And also mentioning that word estate, sometimes in your profile or your suitability profile, you may find that you may have an estate where your loved ones that you are going to be turning your estate over to may not be able to handle the estate. So therefore, if you don't want to leave the estate in the hands of, let's say in this case, a beneficiary, because leaving it in the beneficiary, I'm leaving it with a human being, a person. But like I said, the human being or the person that I am considering leaving my estate to is not responsible enough to handle the estate. Therefore, I may, rather than having a beneficiary, I may leave my wishes for my estate in an estate. In other words, rather than a beneficiary, I open an estate, and I am going to let the estate handle my affairs rather than a beneficiary. So all of these things are part of that financial profile, along with many, many others, because financial planning, like I said, I am planning to secure my finances, grow my finances, and retire very comfortably. But at the same time, I am also looking to deal with the probate, because I will my estate will be going to a probate administration, and of course I would have taken care of my estate and the probate that it will be going through. So this is what having a financial planner and having a suitability financial proposal done for me as a business person or as a private citizen. So again, Bynum's and Association, financial planning and retirement. We look forward to doing a suitability financial profile on you, whether you're a business or whether you are a private person. And, of course, we ask you to give us a call. Bynum's and Associates, 301-234-9090. Go to Bynum's and Associates, bynumsandassociates.com. And of course, you can always go to our email, and that is rhbynum@comcast.net. So we look forward to hearing from you, and we would love to do a suitability financial proposal for you. So again, that's more or less opening up how you can present yourself tonight. So if you're in a business, we look forward to hearing from your business, letting us know about your business so that we can decide whether we wish to do business with you or not. So again, I am. That's my general comments. I am going to turn it over to now my my partner and brother Aziz, my co-host, and he'll make his general comments, and then we will come back and continue our show. We'll come back and open our mics up, and hopefully we will get to know many, many businesses before this evening has passed. So, brother Aziz.
Yes, thank you, Brother Bilal and Brother Rashad. This is good hearing the report that went on in Delaware, and I hope our listeners will listen to that, because it was an event, it seems, a period where we had some of our people getting together and discussing a number of things that needed to be to help us get more and more in the community organizing. But what I wanted to say to our listening audience was, I was talking to some people this weekend, and they were saying that, you know, they heard about our show, and they say, you know, suppose somebody, you know, the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association, suppose somebody outside the African American community wanted to be a part of this business association or promote their business through our network. Primarily, they might have thought that this person was referring to, well, can Caucasians join the New Africa Belt Wall Street Business Association? I said, we don't turn away anyone that want to be a member of our business association. Why we promote African-American businesses is because the need for African-American businesses in our community to channel monies back through the community, provide jobs for people in our community, members that live in the community. And moreover, we were promoting the fact that there are in existence African-American banks. And the reason why African-American banks are small is if your membership or depositors are small, well, your financial amount is going to be small. What you're managing is going to be small. So what we're trying to do is get African-Americans to start doing business with African-American banks as well as other African-American financial institutions, credit unions. And we find out when we do this here, it gives you more buying power. And as a black person that's trying to go into business, you have a more considerate management staff at the financial institution when it comes to looking over your financial plans and as well as your business plans. And this is the type of stuff that we're needed because we know based on research that has been done that in compared to, you know, Caucasians and African Americans when it comes to getting finance for whatever, we always have been turned down more. And matter of fact, that's the term where red line come from. We just are not being able to get the money to make improvements in our community. So therefore, the community goes down. Real estate goes, values goes down. People with money come into the community and buy it. So we're tired of seeing these things happening around. So the New Africa Belt Wall Street Business Association, what we do is try to give What we do is give African-American businessmen as well as African-American business-minded people that want to go into business or would like to find out how can they get information about certain businesses. We have all of that. We have all kind of services to offer you, financial services, legal services, accounting services. We have advisory services that will help you get out into the marketing world. And we know that the majority of our African-American listeners in terms of community-wise, or people are members of the church. We have a lot of African-American Muslims as well as in other organizations. But we know we have a lot of African-American brothers and sisters that's in the churches. And they spend a lot of money and put a lot of money in banks that that invest back into the community. They don't put any money back into the community. They take a lot of money out of the community. And the bank sitting there, they'll finance other people that you see in your community that are not like you, just the ones who own the businesses. It's not that people like us don't want to have those businesses. They're not able to get the financial monies to go in the businesses. So we see this going on all around America as Black Belt, you know, New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association. We see this going on around the world, and we're just a part of many efforts that's out there that's promoting African-American businesses and promoting African-American businessmen and businesswomen to network with one another, to networking with one another where they may learn about one another. And when they learn about one another, they may be able to invest in one another's businesses, turn one another on to other people that are interested in their kind of businesses. Networking like this here is what some other groups of people have, and that's how they've grown in America. People that came here from America that wasn't part of the original group of people that come here, i.e. what I'm talking about is the Asians, Indians, people like that, people of color from different countries from around the world. They come here and they know directly where to go to set up their businesses if they can get the finance. And this is just a saying. And it has some weight to it, but it's not something that just is a proven thing, but it carries a lot of weight. And this saying is that most of the people in other countries around the world, especially countries of people of color, the Asians, the Chinese, Koreans, Indians, Pakistanis, the Arabs, they all come to America, and if they got money, they want to set their businesses up in the African-American neighborhood because they heard that it's a gold mine there, that they don't have any businesses there, and if we set up businesses, we can make plenty of money forever until we get tired of it. And this is what we see in many communities. And in many of the big cities around the country, we see other people from other communities own the businesses and that. And they treat our brothers and sisters real, real harsh, very disrespectful in that. So, you know, these type of things is not good for our young children to see, to grow up in that kind of atmosphere. If our young children grow up in the atmosphere where they see people like them in business and doing well in business, you know, that's an incentive, a big incentive to them. And as a child, as a youngin' coming up, maybe as we say as a teenager, after you've seen this as a young adult, you become a teenager and you get a part-time job there, a summer job there. This is what, this is why we need African-American businesses and African-American communities. It's our future. And if we don't have businesses in our community in a little while, we have no community. And I mean, we'll be real scattered out. And I'm still in many a city, but surely in the southern part of this country of the United States, we still have some large African-American communities in the southern part of our state. In a lot of the northern parts of our state, we have a lot of big black communities in there, but the finances and the efforts to get businesses and to put in there has been very, very difficult because of the finances that's needed. But moreover, that is what we're about here at New Africa Black Belt Business, Wall Street Business Association, is trying to help encourage people that are like-minded, that want to start businesses in their cities, to come on, network, let others know about what you want to do or what you are doing and in terms of wanting to put business in your community. And you may find other like-minded people that want to invest in your business or your efforts or what you're trying to do. And this is what the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association, this is what we're about. This is what we try to promote on a weekly, daily basis. And we have people that listen to our program that are outside of the United States. And that's an encouragement to us to know that our program reaches that big of an audience. And in reaching that big of an audience, perhaps our efforts and our what we're doing is helping people in other places in Africa and even in Europe or in Britain, even in Russia, form community businesses and see the need for like-minded people to have like-minded businesses for themselves, you know, in their communities. And this is something, it is nothing wrong with promoting this. This is something that is actually, it's just common. It's a common thing that you go into an Italian neighborhood, a Greek neighborhood, or whatever. And that's why you go over to their store, their neighborhood, to go to the stores and get their type of food. And things, other things that those cultures promote. So this is what we're about promoting. Your restaurant, your law firm, your financial services, whatever it may be. You might be someone that moves furniture, a moving company, a barber shop, a beauty shop. All of these things are part of what's in the community today. As a matter of fact, we know for a fact that there are more barbershops and beauty shops in our community and any other business. And then secondary comes along, little carryouts and that, but those are primarily, I know, in the Washington metropolitan area. Most of the carryouts and fast food stores are run by other people outside of the African-American community. Very seldom you can go to a fast food place or carryout that an African-American runs and owns. And when you do go there, a lot of times the food is excellent and you have to drive a distance to get that kind of good food. Other than that, we always go and put our money in somebody else's pocket and enriching their community and their community life. So, again, you know, this is what we're doing, promoting African-American businesses as well as getting and networking, getting African-American businesses to network with one another. I did want to speak out also, Brother Bilal, if I got a little time, a minute here to speak out on the situation in Palestine. I think I'd be remiss not to say something about that. This is something that if we can, as good, right-minded people, put an effort forward to let our government know that we don't support the kind of hostility that's taking place in Palestine. We don't support people getting just murdered in wars and things like that. And I appall that kind of behavior that's going on over there. You know, on one side of the situation, maybe less than 2,000 people have been supposedly killed. On the other side, 20-some thousand people have been killed. And on the other side, they don't have the weapons, they don't have the tanks, they don't have the army, they don't have the jets, they don't have the airplane, they don't have artillery, they don't have anything. We call that type of stuff genocide. And, you know, as an American citizen, you know, I don't want to act like the people out there that just burst into the Capitol and all that and get locked up for speaking up. But, you know, this platform is for, you know, sometimes speaking out against things that we see wrong. And as a United States veteran who put himself on the line for America, I say, I don't like what's going on. I don't like America supporting the effort that I don't support Israel and what they're doing to the Palestinian people. So, you know, we need to speak out against that listening audience. You know, I don't want to see either side get hurt like they are, killed like they are, but what the Jewish side is doing to the Palestinian side is not acceptable under no type of circumstances whatsoever, none. And I would call for immediate ceasefire and for Israel to draw all of its troops out of the Gaza and not to return there. The only reason they're doing what they're doing is because the United States only is the one that's backing them in that wrongdoing. The United States is threatening anybody who goes against the Jewish Israelis, they're threatening to destroy them. We can't have this here. Shouldn't no kind of country have that kind of power over the United States? So if anybody's listening out there that feel the same way, I'm just saying as an American and as an American who has been to war for America, I speak out against that. So, and I thank you, Brother Bilal, and the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association for letting me say that part. But back to what we usually do, promoting and networking African-American business. And as I said, you don't have to be an African-American to be a part of this business network as well as become a member. That's what we want. Everybody want to talk about their business and promote their business. Become a member. And our fees are not expensive at all. So So, Brother Bilal, I'm going to turn it back over to you. I hope we,
I appreciate your comments, Brother Aziz. Well taken. And like I said, brothers and sisters, our topic this evening is network marketing and business identification. We want to identify your business so we can see if we can do business with each other. One of the reasons why we chose tonight's topic is because Black Friday, I'm talking about that one day, last Friday, that one day within a 24-hour period, there was over $100 billion in one day. Was generated by consumers doing business here in the United States for these holidays. So,
Brother Bilal, can I say this here? No country in the world makes $100 million in one day. And I apologize for interrupting, but I just wanted to make that point when you said that.
Your point is well taken. But it just goes to show.
Thanks a lot.
And yes, I am going to go ahead and we won't take up time because we promise our listeners. I am going to open the mic. Anyone wish to comment or identify your business or make any kind of comment on what your own topic, our mics are open and we welcome your comments at this time. Our mics are open.
What time are you supposed to go to the... look at the
car. Okay, I think somebody's talking something personal rather than what they. So, brothers and sisters, we do ask if you're going to speak, go ahead and speak. But if you're not ready to speak, please mute yourself, because we can hear everything that you're saying in our studio. We're picking it up because your mics are open, and we have opened all mics. So, again, we have opened your mics. If you can hear us, we can hear you. Any comments you wish to make, introduce your business or talk about business, whatever introduction you wish to mate, we welcome your comments. Again, our mics are open. All right. In that case, Brother Aziz, you were making some very valid points, but like I said, during the Black Friday, that one day participation, that one day, over $100 billion was generated just that one Friday, Black Friday. So again, the question is, and the thing about it, about 75%, of that $100 billion was done by internet buying. It was internet buying. So what does that mean? That means, brothers and sisters, you have goods, you have a product that you're trying to sell, you just need to have it on the internet. You need to be advertising it over the internet, because that's where consumers are shopping. They're shopping the internet. So New Africa, Black Belt Wall Street, of course, we have a shopping center. And you can go on New Africa, Black Belt Wall Street, business, ASSOC.com. New Africa, Black Belt Wall Street, business, ASSOC.com. And you'll go on our website, and of course you can go to our shopping center. And if you go into our shopping center, this is where you can sell your items from our shopping center. We just post and we list your items. And like Brother Razeez were saying, we have a pretty good audience that is doing not doing business, but listening to our business show every week. Now, I don't know if Sister Aisha, I don't know if she's come on yet with us. We can see Sister Aisha.
Yes, I am. As-salamu alaykum. Good evening, everyone. Yes, I am here.
Sister Aisha, before, if you would, do you have a list of our statistics to
yes.
let our audience know about
mm-hmm.
some of these, our listed audience? And this
yes,
is where
I do.
Go. Well, if you would share that with us, Sister
mm-hmm.
Aisha.
The largest percentage of our listening audience is from the United States. Over 62.7% of our audience is right here in the U.S. However, we have a large audience in Zimbabwe, which represents 23.6% of our audience. And then the other countries that our name represent, the total of 100% of other countries that listen to our show. And those other countries will be Canada, Russia, France, Tanzania, India, Kenya, Mozambique, South Africa, Ghana, Tunisia, Portugal, the UK, and Ireland. And this is a tremendous international community. And they, just about every week, they're on, they're signing on, and they're listening. So, unfortunately, we aren't getting the American audience to step up and to interact with the dialogue that we have going. And we make we do our homework every week, all of us, based on what we understand and what you tell us you want us to research and have a conversation about. So we want your participation. We want to grow our network, even internationally. We want to grow it. But it is moving. It's increasing. But domestically, we want this community radio show to be number one in the United States. And we can do it with your cooperation and your participation every Wednesday night and as you move into the community throughout the week. Okay, Brother Bilal, I probably said more than you asked me to. But thank you anyway.
Thanks so much for that introduction, because, brothers and sisters, as you can see, within our 8 years of broadcasting and networking, and it started off networking with African-Americans, trying to find African-American businesses where we can do business with each other. Other nations have sought what we are doing, and so therefore they are doing just about some of the identical things that we're doing in their own countries. And they look forward to coming on our communications or channels and communicating with us on a weekly basis. But the beautiful thing about going on our shopping center is that you can now display your goods, and you are not only are being seen by local Americans, but you also are being seen by many countries outside of the United States. So, again, go to our website, New Africa Black Belt Business, ASSOC.com. New Africa Business ASSOC. .com, and you'll be able to browse our website. And if you are a member of New Africa Black Belt, now you can put your business on our website and sell your business directly from your own location. We just promote your business. We do not sell your business. You sell your own business. So, again, also, of course, in order to become a member, again, you go to the same website, New Africa Black Belt Business Association, New Africa Black Belt Business, ASSOC.com, New Africa Black Belt Business, ASSOC.com, and browsing our website, and by all means go to membership and become a member, because we do need members in order to continue pay for the show and our other operations. And of course you want to send us you want to get on our mailing list, you just simply send us your email and send that to nabassoc@gmail.com. nabassoc@gmail.com. And you'll be able to send us your message, whatever message you wish to send us. So again, you just heard my presentation earlier about what Bynum's and Associates can do and what we do, and that is suitability financial profiles. And we do suitability financial profiles for both businesses and personal. And when we do these suitability financial profiles, not only you will get printouts, a printout proposal, and the biggest thing that you may not remember all the words that were said, but the figures will always be there, and you'll have those figures. So again, if I wish to retire and I earn $100,000 a year, then certainly I would like to set my retirement up as to where I will continue to earn $100,000 a year after I retire. I don't want to retire and somebody say I am going to get 50% of my retirement. That means when I retire, I just lost 50% of my income. How in the world could my mode of living make the adjustment of me making a certain figure, then you say I retire and I'm going to get 50% of the figure that I earn. That's not a retirement, that's a demotion. So again, but by having a financial plan, again, I can continue the retirement that I myself want, and it can all be put together, and it can guarantee. And you hear that word guarantee, can guarantee your income for life. That's the type of financial planning that a suitability financial proposal, a suitability financial profile can do for you. So again, I am still talking about my business. You can do the same with your business. It's open mic. You have the same opportunity tonight. It ain't costing you a dime. But you can come on and you can talk about your business, and we can get to know your business, and hopefully by knowing your business, we will do business with you, and sit therefore, we will have our own Black Fridays. And when we start talking about a one-day shopping of over $100 billion in one day, I think about how much of that money we contributed to the economy of this country. The only difference is when we say the economy of this country, all of that money is going into banks that we as African Americans do not own. So again, if $100 billion went into the banks and that one Friday, that means that the next day, Saturday, the banks have $100 billion of cash flow in addition to what they already had, but this new $100 billion that they made last Friday, the next day, that next Saturday, they have $100 billion of cash flow that they can create finance businesses. And I'm saying businesses that, like, when you go buy a car, every car dealership in your community is selling brand new cars. And when you go in and buy the car and they close the deal and they send you to finance, finance said, okay, you are approved. Your total payment for the new car after all the figures are put together, you owe $65,000 is what your cost for your car. So $65,000, they call the bank. The bank said, yeah, we'll buy the papers. He's got good credit, everything. Yeah, we'll buy that paper. So, again, they go ahead and send the a dealer $65,000 for that one car. But just think, the dealer sold 100 cars that day, one dealer. So think how many $65,000 this one dealer got. Then think about all the dealers in the community, how many deals they all made, not only car dealerships, but the retail stores. The same thing, you're trying to finance your Christmas presents or whatever you spent the money on, that whatever deal that was going on, you went in and of course, the transaction was made. And, of course, it was sent to the bank. The bank bought your paper. So, again, my point is this. All of this money that we as Americans put into the economy of this country took all of that money, and the money was rolled over into many, many other businesses that made that $100 billion, turned it into $1 trillion. And the $1 trillion, not a dime of it came back to the African-American community. It all stayed in the Caucasian community, even though the monies was generated by all Americans, African Americans, Caucasians, Americans, and other Americans. But African Americans, their communities never saw a dime to stimulate their economic growth, but the Caucasian community found all of the monies to stimulate their community growth. So when someone asks, do you have to be, why do you mention blacks of businesses when you start talking about Black Wall Street? Well, no, we mention black businesses because not only are we forgotten, but we're, as far as I am concerned, we're being robbed. Absolutely robbed, because, again, all of the monies that was generated into the American economy, everything went towards the Caucasian community for stimulus growth. Nothing, not one black community where you find stimulus growth, such as a credit unions, a banks, financial institutions, insurance. You ain't going to find anything in our communities that is going to see a financial growth, even though our monies was involved in the financial growth of this country. So that's why Black Belt Wall Street, we have to, until our system is a fair system, we have to do for self. We have to see to it that we use our economical power, and we have to start controlling our economical powers. We have to stop giving them away. So that's why our emphasis is on the black community, because the black community has been denied, and as far as I am concerned, we're being robbed. So again, our mics are open. We welcome your comments. All right, I can't believe I got so much to say, and I wonder sometime, am I wrong and everybody else is right? We are just like what, you know, let him talk, and we'll just simply listen. Yeah. But that's fine. That's fine. I don't want nobody coming on and saying, unless you want to come on and make a comment, I don't mind you listening to me. But our mics are open.
Yeah, yeah, Brother Bilal, I'm like what Sister Aisha said, and I'm like Sister Aisha, that about, you know, having a big audience in the, you know, our biggest audience is here in America, and, you know, we don't have that vocal participation in the show, you know, voice and their likes or dislikes. And this is really what helped us, encourage us to, as she was saying, select the programs that, you know, programs and things that that people are interested in knowing about in the business, networking, marketing, and establishing businesses, that information. If, you know, this just really would help. Even internet participation and sending us emails to let us know your interest in the business, you know, community, as well as things you would like us to research or talk to you about that you may not know about that you're interested in the business world. We need to get participation from both avenues, the internet as well as those that are listening to the show. This lets us know exactly what to talk to you about. Sometimes during the week on this day, there are other activities going on, and we encourage people to, you know, take time out. If you can't listen to this program for the 2 hours that we're on, maybe you can listen to the 1 hour of it then. But the information that we share on this Blog Talk Radio show is very crucial information in establishing communication, business communication in the community. What I mean by business communication in the community is just what we're about, networking, marketing, your ideas, things that you may want, businesses, concerns, and when the community needs in terms of businesses. So this is what we want your participation in, the audience, to let us know what you'd like to hear more of. As Brother Bilal say, we can continue to talk all day long about the different businesses and how they should be shifting. For one thing, down south, and most down south, you know what I'm saying, from Virginia on down, we have a number of communities, that African-American communities, that are pretty large. There's nothing but African-Americans live there. And, you know, this is our effort every time we talk, is to try to encourage people that live in communities like that, if they want to see businesses owned by themselves in the community. Perhaps there are people that have a like mind in your community. Again, we go back to the biggest establishments in our communities, and those are the churches. The churches can help establish these vital businesses that we need in our communities outside of the barbershop and the beautician shop. We're talking about the other facilities that we need, i.e. our own banks. You know, again, Brother Bilal refers back to a lot of times, and I do too, to about the original Black Wall Street, Black Belt Wall Street, and how segregation forced them into doing business among themselves, to a group, to the point to wherein they knew that was the best way to do business, because they were getting fair deals among themselves and not ripping one another off, because they took great pride in it. But what's missed about a lot of the people that know about the Black Belt or the Black Wall Street that was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, what they don't know is that those bankers there loaned the white people, white cattlemen, as well as other white folks, a lot of money. They came to them because when we had the opportunity to do business in that, we were good at it. We were very good at it. And it made people jealous. And they just literally destroyed our community only based on the reason of jealousy. The reason that they said that was someone disrespected a white woman, that wasn't true. That wasn't true. But what they did and all that, they still wasn't ashamed of what the white folks wasn't ashamed of what they did to the community. Burned, I don't know how many blocks, over 20-some blocks, burned them to the ground, destroyed them. So, you know, some people tried to rebuild back, but, you know, it was nothing. You know, they destroyed everything, killed a lot of the business owners, just killed them, outright killed them. And those that did escape started businesses in Atlanta and other places on further out, went out to California. But this business acumen that our people had from being forced into that, we're not forced to then. We really have some freedom. And I do really believe that if we were in a segregated situation, we would have that Black Wall Street here now, all over the country, as it did exist all around the country. It was just one Black Belt Wall Street grew after the other one. They were supporting one another in all of the big cities around. That's what helped them grow like that. And all we're trying to do is promote that back again, because that people that lived in Tulsa, Oklahoma, African Americans that lived in Tulsa and other places, they live very well. They live real good. And they had a dignified life that they lived. And they were honest people, honest businessmen. So this is what we're promoting, that same idea and concept as the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association. So to our listeners, you know, let's get some participation vocally or over the Internet to let us know your wants and needs and understanding about business as we, if we can help you in that area. And if we can't, we will find a way to get you the answer that you need. So I'll turn it back to you again, Brother Bilal. That's another little bit I wanted to say, let our audience know we do need their voice. Do need to know what they want to know.
Okay, Brother Aziz, thanks for your comments, and I'll go right on back, and I'll continue to say network marketing, business identification, we have an open mic. Open mic means that we're looking to have our audience participation. So again, if anyone have any comments, we have opened all of the mics, and we welcome your comments.
Hey, Brother Bilal, this is Nadir Rashid in Delaware. I want to challenge our listening audience to, I mean, even if you do not have a business, you may know some black-owned businesses. You may have friends who are owners of black-owned businesses. Why not tell us about their story? Why not share it with the group? I'd like to also challenge the other state directors of New Africa, Black Belt Wall Street, to actually start, you know, talking about some of the businesses in your state or in your counties or in your communities. I have several that I've been dealing with, and God willing, as we continue to go along, my goal is to have them on here. And let's highlight each other. I mean, we spend money with everyone else. We're very vocal when we go to the clubs. We're very vocal when we go to concerts. We're very vocal when we're out doing civil activism, if you will. But when it comes to this type of financial enrichment, I don't know if it's a fear. I don't know if it's shyness. I don't know what it is, but we have got to come out of that uncomfortable zone. My dad used to say, God rest his soul, in order to be successful in life, you got to get comfortable being uncomfortable. And I think that that's what's got to happen with us. I'm going to state two things right now. I supported a black-owned bakery business here in Delaware in Clayton. Young sister calls her company Keys, K-E-E-S, as in Sierra, Cookies and Cupcakes. They're at 306 Main Street in Clayton, Delaware. If you are in Delaware in that area, you have a sweet tooth, you know, show your love to this young lady, because I was very impressed. I bought my wife some things from there, and she's very pleased, very impressed. Something you guys said earlier, I think Brother Aziz said earlier, is we have to get back used to. I know a lot of times, I don't know if it's we still have the Sambo mind. But a lot of times we don't show our businesses the same enthusiasm that we show other businesses. And when other businesses, those who don't look like us, treat us well, we go back. And I mentioned before, you know, if our Caucasian counterpart messed up your car, a lot of us would take it to another Caucasian to fix it. If a white dentist messed your teeth up, a lot of us would go to another white dentist to fix our teeth. But when it comes to us doing business with each other, we don't show each other those same courtesies. If you have one bad experience, now you no longer want to do business with black people. And a lot of times when we go to black businesses, we're automatically off the top asking for a discount. And as I mentioned before, We don't ask Target for a discount. We don't ask Walmart for a discount. We don't ask Amazon for a discount. So we have got to change the narrative and get back to the mindset. Although it forced our people with Black Belt Wall Street back in the early 1900s, now with, as you mentioned, Brother Bilal, with the technology, with, I mean, you have a global market. When Sister mentioned all of the different countries that are listening right now, we just have got to become more involved in ourselves, love ourselves, and that's something that's missing. So, you know, I want to throw that out there to not only our listeners. If you don't have a business, I'm sure you may know a relative, you may know a friend, you may know an old colleague that is trying to open up a business. Why not talk about it? So I think we need to engage ourselves, inspire ourselves, and be about ourselves. I really believe in this New Africa Black Belt Wall Street, and I'm just so thankful to be a part of it. So I'll shift it back to you.
Okay. Appreciate your comments. Thanks for your comments, Brother Rasheed. And remember also, we are not only are we interested in knowing your business and being able to have you come in and talk about your business, but we also are interested in create new businesses. Or if your business, like you said, the young lady with the cupcakes or whatever a product that you have to sell, you may want to grow your business. You may have a business plan as to where if I had monies, I could grow my business much larger. So becoming invested in each other's businesses, creating brand new businesses all together by becoming invested with each other financially to create businesses. Like I said, brothers and sisters, when you see a situation where $100 billion is made in one day, and I would, and you know, we are the biggest consumers in this country. We're 97-98% of all of us are consumers. So that's why I said, without a doubt, we're the biggest consumers in the country. So we are responsible for a lot of that monies that was spent Friday and continuing to be spent as we speak. So if we are big spenders, then why not become big business owners? And because you can see there's a huge profit in being a business owner because of the huge amount of monies that we consume. So rather than being a consumer, I am going to become a business owner and it would pay for me to put up my share of the investment to create a business or to invest in an ongoing business that's already existing in the community. But the big thing is that there's a huge profit in owning businesses in the African-American community because there is a need for businesses. There is a need for businesses. And so there's your incentive and my incentive to become each other's assets. And when I say each other's assets, become each other's dollar bills. Well, we don't have to worry about borrowing money. we can do like other groups, especially the group that's coming into this country right now. And these groups, again, I could be from Guatemala, I can be from Mexico, I can be from Haiti, I can be from Cuba, I can be from wherever. The infatuation of those who are coming into our country, but when they come into the country, they get with their groups. They don't get with every a migrant that's coming across the border. No, they get with the migrants that are a part of their group. And when they find their group, they're saying, okay, we're going to pool our monies together and we're going to open a Mexican restaurant. We're going to open a Haiti this. We're going to open a Guatemalan debt. But they're pooling their monies to grow businesses in the United States, and 9 times out of 10, those businesses that they're going to be growing is going to be in the African-American community, because that's where they can afford to open a business, is in the black communities. It's cheaper. And so that same cheap way of opening a business in the black community, that's what I'm saying, African brothers and sisters, these are our communities. But if we don't turn them into commerce, others are going to come in and buy, and they're going to become owners of your community. And the more they own your communities, the more they're taking away the communities away from you. So we have a challenge. I've been saying now that for a while, our communities is on life support. And if we don't do something about it, we're going to, our communities will be dead as far as we're concerned, because someone else is going to own our communities. And once they buy the black communities from right under our feet, where do we go? What is left for the African American? So again, we have a challenge to either become vested with each other, just like the new groups that are coming into this country. We have that. We've been having that challenge for hundreds of years, but we have. Like you were saying, during the time of segregation was the most successful times for African Americans financially in our history of being in this country. During the time of segregation and the Black Belt and Black Belt Wall Street and the business plans that was put together by our professionals, leaders as Booker T. Washington and all of his planners that built all the colleges and many of all the other institutions that you see that are still very successful today that they built. During those times, we were forced to to grow our communities. But after integration, we left our communities, and we neglected our communities. And now today, our communities is in the situation that you see a neglectful community would be in, because we didn't do anything about upholding the values of our communities. And the reasons I can say that is because there are no businesses in our communities. And anytime you have a community and there are not businesses, you have a community that is non-value. The equity values, everything is very low until you have a very large business to come into your communities. And that's when you'll see the values of your communities going up, because businesses has come to your communities. So we need to bring those businesses into our communities. We want that equity values. But if we don't get it, others are already buying up our communities as we speak, and they're not worried about borrowing monies from the segregated banks, because they are each other's assets. They pool their monies together, and they all collectively buy their houses, buy their properties, buy their businesses, buy their religious institutions, buy their schools, and they're going to keep on buying until, again, we will be the ones that are in poverty, working and cleaning for them the same way we've right. been for others for years. So brothers and sisters, let's make what belongs to us, let's turn it into a high value, the high value that it should be, the high value of the huge amount of monies that we spend into other communities. Let's take these monies back into our own communities, and let's build our businesses together, the new businesses, and let's shop with each other on our present businesses. And most of all, we must own our own financial institutions where we can deposit our monies into our own financial institutions and get them out of these their banks. Because once the banks get your monies, like I said, they're going to make monies off your monies every day, every second of the day. But the monies that they're making off your monies, you ain't seeing a dime of it. They're keeping it. And the only monies that you're going to get is when you go in and you withdraw some of your monies that you have. But whatever monies you left on deposit, those monies are working. It's circulating. And it's circulating for white communities. They don't send it back to our communities, even though the monies that's in the banks are collectively put there by black folks and white folks and others who come into this country. So, again, our mics are open. And Sister Aisha, we're yes. glad that you're back. And we're going to, I know we're into your time, and but I think you. We spoke earlier. You told me to go ahead and continue what we were doing. So absolutely. I am going to see if you want to take your last half an hour, or would you like to just continue on the course that we're going. But anyway, I am going to turn it over to you and see which way you want to take the show for the next half an hour.
You know, I'll take the last half hour. There are some things that I want to say, really, in reference to what you have said about working together as a collective to build our institutions in our community. And this is really what it's about. And if we don't do this, I think that we are really planning for our own demise as a people. Already we can see from the way things are happening in a society that our voice is not as impactful as it was through a small window that we had in the 70s and the 80s. We are the consumers, mass consumers now, and so that's the way the larger population see us. Just to take our money, we give it, actually we give the money, and just by whatever mass media tell us is the new thing for the day or for the week. So we have to not only bring our economics back, we have to bring our self-respect and our integrity back into this society. And once we start changing things within our own communities, within our own household, I think, I really do feel that we can gain the momentum that we had coming out of the 80s and the early 90s, and we lost that. But what I did want to mention was, in this short period of time, I attended a convening. We used to call them conferences, but now the new word is convening. So I attended a convening on the 14th and 15th of November, a very intense 2 days. There were over 50 representatives, high-level representatives from the federal government, from every agency just about in the federal government. Okay. Not, of course, not the court system and that sort of thing. But at this conference, it was a conference for the Southeast region of the United States. And the Southeast region is Region 4. Now, this is new terminology that we're going to have to implement in the way we think about where we live in the United States. I'll get back to the conference in just a second. I want to say this about the regions. FEMA divided the regions in the United States into 10 different sections. So we have 10 regions in the U.S. We used to think of 4 regions, north, east, southwest, and southwest and whatnot. But now we have 10 regions. And so this conference that I attended was for the Southeast region, which is Region 4. And those states are North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, Mississippi, Tennessee, Alabama, and Kentucky. Those are the 8 states that represent the region. And the representatives from the U.S. Government who came there, they came to talk about the funds that have been made available through the Biden administration for various components of economic development in the communities. And there are different programs, and I'm not pushing the Biden administration, I'm just telling you about this convening. They wanted us to know that these funds, hundreds of millions of dollars that was allocated in the previous budget, is still, a lot of the money is still sitting there and have not been given out to grant holders or to community organizations. But in the future, this, as we go forward, we as a group of people are going to have to change our vocabulary and adopt new vocabulary. We're going to have to stay abreast of what's taking place on the federal level. And actually, we were very engaged as a community on the federal level with our consciousness, if not our presence, physical presence. So this conference convening was so intense those 2 days, I'm still trying to decipher a lot of the information. It was so much given to us. But this was an opportunity for community leaders to get together and talk about how best to use the federal funds that were still available. So we'll talk about that probably within the next couple of weeks. And I'm not a person that chases grants because my company is a for-profit. But there are advantages, many advantages, working with the nonprofits. and that is to assist them in getting grants that can be used in the community. So we can talk about that a little bit later on. But I want to mention to the group tonight that our company, Summit Environmental Resources, is a partner with the Black Belt Wall Street, New Africa Business Association. Our mission is to prepare communities, especially the underserved population, for natural disasters that we know that's coming our way, such as hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, and so forth. And this mission, and we can accomplish our mission by training an army of community people in the strategies and methodologies of disaster preparedness, which means we have to have hundreds and thousands of people on the ground going door to door to train and get other African Americans and other people in the society involved with the concept of disaster preparedness. And the reason we have to do that and the reason we think this will be effective, we tried this methodology. This was part of the civil rights movement when we had community organizations, when we had groups going door to door. It was very effective in raising the consciousness of a whole society of people. That took place through community organizers on the ground. Every major movement that has been successful in North America started with the ground movement, and we call it the army, of course. But this is the path we have to take, and the reason we have evidence that this process was successful, and the reason we need to do it so drastically now is because preparedness, according to FEMA's report, has only increased in America by 2% since 2013 up until 2022. When the report was released, only increased in America by 2% with the millions and the billions of dollars FEMA has. Not only that, we have a system in this country where we have messaging, tailored messaging and guidelines to help people understand the risk in natural disaster and be ready to evacuate when necessary. These are the keys to reducing death rates. We are not saying we can protect your property. We are saying that we can help you save your life and the lives of some of your family members if you are prepared for a natural disaster. And with all of the improved understanding of atmospheric and atmospheric science, improvements in forecasting and communication, we are not foreseeing and communicating what has to be said to the people in order to get their attention on the impact of climate change in not just North America, but throughout the world. But right now, we can't deal with the rest of the world, but we know the consequences of a storm over 1,000 miles away can affect us in the U.S. And we have that history from Irma that started in Nicaragua and ended up in the southern part of Florida. As it started in Nicaragua as a hurricane and ended up in Florida as a severe storm and did billions of dollars in damage and hundreds of people lost their lives. We also know that the consequences of storms can move from just like the one that we had, the storm that was in the Pacific that came on shore in Lahaina, Maui, that was at least 1,000 miles away, and it came on land. So these are consequences. So this is what we must start doing, getting people on the ground who are trained in disaster preparedness. And we need to train people who can train other people in disaster preparedness. And this is our mission. We have the training program already in place. We are ready to train large organizations. We are touching bases with the faith-based communities, the local and state governments, for them to start bringing us in to train their employees, their staff. The faith-based communities, we are approaching them to train their congregation. So we have to approach this on a very large scale, and this is our direction. If we do not, we as African-American people, and there's a new name for us, we are called the underserved population, but we are 70 to 80% unprepared for a natural disaster. Can you imagine 80% of our population of African-American people, the underserved people, are 80% unprepared? And it has nothing to do with education. It has nothing to do with income. It has nothing to do with your high-level job. It stretches across all of those categories. And unfortunately, we do believe it's because we are so stressed in our communities that we just don't want to hear anymore. And we are hoping that it'll go away. But I assure you, when a disaster strikes, you are going to want to be prepared. So all you have to do is pick up your emergency kit and walk out the door, get in your car, and evacuate if you can. That's what you want to do. But if you are not prepared, you will not know how to do that. You will not know where to go. You will not know what you need when you get there. And I have to say this in the short period of time, that even now in Lahaina, Maui, the people are having a tremendous emotional shock because they are finding out that FEMA cannot assist them unless they can show some identification of who they are. Their neighbors who are trying to speak for them, who are in the same position that they're in, their word is not acceptable. And according to FEMA guidelines, they have to show identification. But you all probably saw the same thing that I saw. People were running. They didn't have any emergency kits on their back. They didn't have anything in their hand. They were probably holding the hand of their child. They had no identification. And this is what they're saying. We have no identification. How can we have to escape quickly? How can we prove who we are? So FEMA is saying you must in order for us to help you. So we don't want to be in that position. We want to know, we want to be educated, and there are many strategies and there are many legalities that you must know when that storm comes into your area. So we're going to continue to talk about this, and this is what we do every Wednesday night. we talk about the economic devastation of natural disasters. And that devastation, as the, what is the case doing for Katrina, Lahaina, and other places, has completely destroyed generational wealth. And we as a African-American community, that is what we wanted to have to hand down to our children. We wanted a house. We want the house that we live in to be inherited by our children so they can have generational wealth. Well, most of those houses have totally been destroyed. If you do not know how to protect yourself and that generational wealth when it's destroyed or if it's destroyed, you're going to be in trouble, and your generation after you will not have that. So knowing what is required, and just recently I was, everyone need a mortgage on their home, and you have to have insurance. I just found out, and probably Brother Bilal, you already knew this, you, our brother Aziz, you probably already knew that this, that your credit score can determine how much you pay for your policy, your mortgage policy, your homeowner's insurance policy. The U.S. government controls flood insurance. Some people in some parts of the country, especially in Florida and California, they are paying as much as $2,000 for flood insurance. That's just the flood insurance. That's not the homeowner's insurance. These are things that we have got to understand before disaster strikes. And the training will help you understand this. In the training, we help you to become aware. Awareness means to educate you on what the consequences of a storm is and how it will affect you. We also help you put together your family plan. We give you a template for you and your family to sit down and talk about evacuation. Where are you going to go? Do you have any money set aside? Do you have set aside money in small bills, not large bills? Because doing evacuation, if you have to stop, stores don't want large bills. They want small bills. These are the things that you need to know. If your children are in school, have you talked with your children and you all have identified a block, a corner for them to meet you so you can drive by and pick them up? Do they know this? Do they know the phone numbers? And so this is your part of your family plan. And then, of course, the last strategy is the strategy that tells you, help you understand the alerts. In the state of North Carolina, there are three alerts. In different states, the alert there is different. But when you hear the first alert, you need to evacuate. You don't wait for the second and the third. The second, you're in trouble. The third, forget it. You can't evacuate. You couldn't even get on the roads. So these are the essential life-saving strategies that you must know. So next week, hopefully, we'll talk more about some of the economic devastations that's taken place throughout the United States from natural disasters and how we're going to come back. But we as a community, we must use the strategies that we learned during civil rights and community organization during that period of time because it was effective, and we can become prepared. If we do not become prepared for a natural disaster, it can contribute to our demise. So, do I have any questions? I think I have about 6 minutes left. Are there any questions or any comments?
Sister Aisha, Brother Aziz, some legal and greetings.
Alaykum as-salam. Thank you.
Yes, I was going to say, my mother, down in a place called Fairhope, Alabama, on the eastern shore of the Mobile Bay, and the house is about a mile away from the bay, up a hill. In that area, never been a flood ever, but with forecasts or whatever, my point is, they wanted her, as well as people living in that area, they wanted my mom, that doesn't have a real huge house, $5,000 a year for flood insurance only.
Mm.
Flood insurance
yeah.
only. So the price that you were quoting to our listeners and all of that, you know, you were right on point, as well as $2,000, which you said was high, but they didn't even take it to another level, $5,000 in an area that has never had floods, but, you know, they forecast these things. They don't know when or whatever, and an idea that it is taking an economic hit on the finances of people when you got to make a choice. Do you want to get this flood insurance and pay the $5,000, which you may not have to pay, or do you want to wait and see if a storm come up sometime down the road and lose everything, you know?
And then, of course, homeowners insurance does not cover floods or earthquakes.
Yeah.
That's entirely the different, that's the federal insurance policy that covers that. And that's what's very costly. So can you imagine paying a homeowner's insurance policy? And you can't get a mortgage unless you have a homeowner, unless you have insurance, right?
Right.
And now, since they are using your credit score to determine how much you pay for your policy, your homeowner's insurance, it's wiping people out completely. So you have to have the homeowner's insurance to cover just basic deterioration in the house, and then have additional federal insurance for floods and earthquakes. And so it puts a tremendous burden on low-income people. And, of course, if they don't have it, their generational wealth has been destroyed in many cases. So hopefully yes, sir.
And with the closing, yes, we'll come back to this. But when it comes to flood insurance, and I heard you when you said the $2,000, I said she don't realize she's talking about a month, because the average flood insurance policy is going to cost you over $10,000 a year. And
great.
And higher. But the thing about it is listening to Aziz talking about his peoples who have been living in the properties for years. This is being imposed as to where the mortgage companies is saying that if you don't have flood insurance, then it's a good possibility that we won't be able to carry your mortgage because you don't have the flood insurance. And what does this do? It calls folks to have to be forced to sell their properties because
gentrification.
Yeah, right.
Can't afford. They want to take. It's a good way to take your properties. But like you said, next week we look forward to continuing the information that we all have found out by attending the stimulus package. And like you said, they look at as African Americans as underserved. But
Reverend Blau.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. Good evening. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. And I would also like us to maybe even think about for next week discussion. How, as we as African American people, how can we extrapolate some of the taxes that we pay that does not provide us any thing for our communities? What can we do? Because I don't want my tax dollars to support Elon Musk. I don't want my tax dollars to go towards Ukraine and killing of the Palestinians over there in Israel. So how, what can we do to extrapolate, if not all of, at least some of, the taxes that we pay? How come we can't say where our tax dollars will go? So this is something else that, you know, we need to start coming up with some solutions. We can continue to identify the problems. Now, with FEMA, with Sister Aisha, Sister Aisha, I really appreciate what you do for us. And perhaps one day we'll get enough brains to start putting some of the things you're saying in action. However, I'm kind of leery about knocking on doors because people shooting at us these days. But at the same time, let us start thinking about how we can get some of our own tax dollars that's not doing us any benefit.
If we run
out here and spend millions of dollars on Black Friday, that's one thing. But we need to start figuring out how we can keep some of our tax dollars in our own communities. Because I don't want to support Elon Musk. I don't want to support that dude from Fox News and all those places. I don't want to support those with my tax dollars. So let's think about how we can start putting some pressure on some of those agencies to keep some of our tax dollars in our own pockets. Thank you, brothers and sisters. As-salamu alaykum.
Well, until next week's brothers and sisters, you can see this will be a continuing conversation, a very important conversation. Thanks for listening. Until next week.
America,
you see.
Inshallah. We'll talk soon. Assalamu alaikum.